We are holding on your days and the days, four lines from the bottom. Okay. We left off. We started talking about the Mishnah. I talked about a case where a person finds a shtar chayv, and we said Rav Meir made a distinction whether it has a chayus nechasim, whether it has a shibud on karka or not. If yes, then you don't return it to either the malva or the loiva because it could be used to collect from third parties invalidly. If there's no chayus nechasim, then it's just between the malva and the loiva, and then it's fine. And the Chachamim said either way, you know.
Chayus nechasim means that there
is a shibud on karka.
There is a shibud on karka by some people.
Well, it means, in other words, that any karka that he sold from when the loan was taken out is going to be under that shibud, yeah. So then we started saying that on the face of it, the Mishnah has to be talking about Shechayev Moida. The loiva admitted that it is a valid shtar. He's not claiming that it was paid off or whether it's forged or what have you. The reason why we said, why you shouldn't return it in that case, according to that, why the Chachamim are saying that you shouldn't return it, or that why Rav Meir is saying that if there's a chayus nechasim on it, you shouldn't return it, is because what if it was pre-written? What if he wrote it in Nissan and didn't end up borrowing with it till Tishrei? And we said, so okay, why aren't we concerned about that with every shtar? And the answer is this shtar has a reis, so this shtar has already, because it was dropped, there's already, it was lost, therefore there's already reason to suspect that there's something fishy with it.
Every shtar that's lost, you're going to suspect that.
Okay, so actually, it's the Rambam writes like this. We're going to have, we have our Mishnah that mentions shtar that you're not supposed to return. We're going to learn as we go through the next couple of dafim. We're going to learn about cases when you should and shouldn't return a shtar. The Rambam writes that even given that, it's true, you're not supposed to return it to the malva or the loiva, as the case may be. Nevertheless, if you did return it to the malva, it's still a kosher shtar, and he can collect with it just as if it had never been lost. The Raiva disagrees with that. A number of other Rishonim disagree with that also. They say there will still be a certain distinction between it and a shtar that was never lost. And the Rashba actually acts based on our Gemara over here, where the Gemara starts by saying that why aren't we concerned about all shtaris? And the answer is this one has a reyasa. Evidently, the idea is because it has a reyasa, that sort of weakens the power of it. Not like the Rambam seems to be saying that once you return it, then that's it. It's as if it had never been lost.
He says, even if you return it after you return
it. Once it's returned, in other words, yeah, once it's returned, then it goes back to the way it was, in other words.
The Rambam says that. But
the Raivan holds that, no, that you don't say it's fully like as if it was. Yeah. So, okay, the Evan also points out a distinction. Maybe the Rambam would agree based on our Gemara. If there's a specific reason to think that there is a problem of the shtar having been written ahead of time, then fine. Besides having been lost, then fine. We would say that's a matter of concern. But other than that, if it's just a matter of the only reyesa and it is in and of itself is the fact that it was lost, then he's not concerned about that yet. Okay. So we're holding the halacha is like that. Well, the Rambam paskins that way. I don't remember if in Shulchan Aruch it actually paskins like that. Again, usually when there's a machlokas among the Rishonim, not necessarily do the post-machronim take sides. You know, there's no higher authority to appeal to.
So in many
of those cases, we say it's a suffix, basically. So what can happen is that one or the other side in Dintura then can use the expression kimli. Like, I know for a fact, I have strong reason to believe that the halacha is like, let's say, the Rambam versus the Raivad or whoever, you know, and therefore that there should be, and then, you know, and therefore that the halacha should be appropriately. So in other words, sort of like, you know, the Rav has the right, let's say, to paskin like the Rambam, but the other party, the other party, the loiva, or the third party in this case, who bought nechasim, could argue kimli that I hold that the halacha ought to be like the David. You can't prove that not, and therefore you have to bring proof that the halacha is definitely like the Rambam if you want to take this property away from me. So we're holding five lines from the bottom of your base and the base. So the question is Elah Hadichman. Fine. What about this that we learn in a Mishnah in Bava Basra? Kosvid shtar loiva afishen malva imoy. You're allowed to write a shtar for a loiva that he's going to borrow money, even if the malva is not there with him. The question is again, how do you write such a document? Same problem as we mentioned before. What if he's only writing it in Nissan? He doesn't actually borrow until Tishrei. But also, and now you're going to come to take away from third parties who bought property from this loiva improperly. Amar Rav Asi. So Rav Asi says that the Mishnah in Bava Basra, when it says that you can write a shtar for a loiver, is talking about a specific type of shtar. The shtore hakna. We're talking about a shtar hakna. Hakna is in the Lashon Kinyan. Shemakna lein nechasa mehayoyimna. She says he's saying the loiver, or he's not even a loiver yet. He hasn't even borrowed money yet. But he's saying, I'm already being meshabed my nechasim to you as of now. Whether I borrow money or whether I don't borrow money, different before we should talk about what Rashi means. Does he mean if he never borrows, or does he just mean eventually he borrows, but we're talking about as of now? Whatever it is, the shibud is created as of now.
In other words, the shibud precedes?
The shibud precedes,
Exchange of property?
Yeah, and not of title, the exchange of money for the loan.
The money.
Yeah, and that works because by the same logic as, for example, I mean, a person is perfectly capable of writing a shtar that says, for no particular reason, just out of the blue, I can write a shtar that says, I owe you $100, and as long as we have valid edim on it and whatever, then fine, I owe you that money, even if I never borrowed it from you. So this is the same kind of thing. If you have a shtar hakna, a person could do it for whatever reason. We could have, let's say, I don't know, you could have the example, you know, we talk about in Bava Kamma, where a person stole from somebody else and is embarrassed to return it publicly, right? He might be Mavliya Bacheshkin, you know, so whatever. Whatever the exact reason, you know, he may want to do that. What we're talking about, by the way, the Rishonim talk about, the Rosh talks about, do we mean that the Kinyan is actually written in the Shtar, that it's actually written in the Shtar that he created this Shibud ahead of time? In that case, then that might be a different thing. That might be what the Gemara is talking about over here specifically, because then that kind of shtar has a curl. The whole reason why a shibud works, the whole mechanism by which shibud works, and you can take away from the third parties, from the lakokas, is because a shtar chayv has a curl in general. People know that Ruvain borrowed from Shimon. Therefore, people know to look out when they're going to be borrowing or when they're going to be buying property from Ruvain. From now on, they should be aware that there's the chance that Shimon might take it away from them. Here, where it's a shtar hakna, if the kinyan is actually literally written into the shtar, all the more so it has a curl. So therefore, even if he didn't borrow money yet, people know about it. People know to look out for that sort of thing. And there are other Rishonim we'll learn that maybe we don't mean the Kinyan is literally written into the Shtar, but there was such a Kinyan. Anyway, Dehar Shabbat Nafshe, in that case, he was Meshabbat himself, so even without a loan, in that case then, that's the kind of case, Rav Asi is saying, that's the kind of case we're at Yud Gimel now, yeah. The top line. That's the kind of case Rav Asi is saying where the Mishnah in Bava Basra will tell us that you can write the shtar for the loiva even if the mal was not written. A regular shtar chayiv, you can't do that because what if he wrote it in Nissan and he doesn't end up borrowing till a few months later? But with a shtar hakna, he's anyway being meshabed himself as of when the shtar is written. So fine, and in that case, there's nothing to worry about. Okay, well then the question is, Yehochimas Nissan. Fine, what are you doing with our Mishnah then? Our Mishnah says that if there's a chrayus in the shtar, that if there's a shibud in the shtar, a shibud on karga, then you shouldn't return it. And we explained that it has to be talking about when the loiva admits that it's a valid shtar, because otherwise, who cares whether there's a chrayus in the chosim or not? No, there's a potential loiver, but we're talking about you found a shtar choy. You found a shtar that says that Ruvain borrowed money from Shimon on such and such a day. Now,
you write on the shtar kna that it's a shtar kna?
That's the thing. According to the Rosh, you might actually write a kinyan in there, but that's what we're trying to figure out. Wait a second. That's what the Gemara is going to ask is basically exactly that. In other words, if it's a shtar hakna, you shouldn't have a problem. And if it's not a shtar hakna, then you do have a problem either way. So wait.
Yeah, unless it's a regular shtar, it's
not. The problem is like this. If Rav Asi is saying that a shtar hakna you're allowed to write when the malva, for the loiva, when the malva is not around. A shtar not, that's not hakna, you're not allowed to. But in that case, then a shtar that's not hakna, you're b'chlal not allowed to write. According to him, the only kind of shtar you're allowed to write without the malva around is a shtar hakna. So one way or the other, you shouldn't have any reason to worry. Again, let's review. The Gemara had said like this. Here, let's actually, the Gemara itself is spelling it out for us. So the Gemara is actually spelling it out for us. Ihachi masnisin de katani. So what about our Mishnah that said, if there's a chayiv nechasim, if there's a shibud, you shouldn't return the shtar.
Unless you're not sure that there is.
Wait! We explain that that's talking about when the lover admits that it's a valid shtar. He does not claim it was paid off. He doesn't claim that he doesn't claim that it's forged. He doesn't claim anything of that sort. And we're saying, why is it if there's a chayes nechasim, you shouldn't return it? Because what if it was pre-written and now he's going to take from the kochos improperly? Well, if you're going to say like Rav Asi that anyway, the only way you can write a shtar without both of them being present is if it's shtar akna, amai lo yachzir. So why shouldn't you return it? What are you worried about? Nechzi, let's look what kind of shtar it is. Either shtar akna, is it a shtar akna? No problem. Hashavad leinafshi. He was meshavad himself. He wrote it in Nissan. He didn't borrow till Tishrei. It doesn't matter. The shibud is as of Nissan anyway because it was a shtar akna.
But there's not
if it's a shtar that's not a shtar akna, lek lamechash, then there should be no reason to be concerned in the first place. It can't have been pre-written. According to Rav Asi's understanding of the Mishnah in Bava Basra, if the malva is not there, you cannot write a shtar that's not a shtar akna. So period. You're only going to write it anyway when the malva and the lova are there and the transaction is actually taking place. So what are you worried about? So what's the problem? If we're saying that mele, if we were to say the lova is not admitting that it's a valid shtar, okay, then you could, but then you wouldn't return it even if there's no achrayes mechatzim. So if we're saying necessarily the mission has to be talking about the lova admits that it's a valid shtar. So why, if it's a shtar that's not hakna, what could potentially be the problem? Why would there be a potential problem that it might have been pre-written? You're not allowed to write such a shtar. You're not allowed to pre-write such a shtar.
And clearly, person.
And a shtar hakna is no problem because he's fine. The shibud is out of that.
But it's clearly this.
Knunya we're going to talk about later. We haven't gotten to the point of Knunya yet. But at this point, we're not worried about Knunya. But a valid shtar hakna, there's no Knunya anyway. Fine. He was the shabbat himself. Yeah. Okay.
And you cannot take mistaken the shtar akna for a shtar that's not akna.
No, apparently not, because either it's actually written into the shtar, or the edim who signed on the shtar testify that it was a shtar akna, whatever, yeah. So what's the problem? With that said, by the way, now the Gemara has just brought that question, but actually there are a number of Rishonim who have a problem with that approach of the Gemara, and therefore they say that these few lines are actually not from the original Gemara, but rather they're from Rabbi Yehudai Goy. They're from one of the early Goyim. So how does a Goyim come to have lines in the Gemara? So
you're even stronger, no?
No. I mean, they're going to ask the Gemara. They're already the Gemara is already finished. They're not allowed to add anything to it. But Rabbi Isaac Halevi explains in a Sefer Derech Sort of showing him that what happened was like this. In Rabbi Yehuda's times, he lived about 100, 150 years after the time of the Goyim started, they still spoke Aramaic. They hadn't yet switched over to speaking Arabic, really. The Arabs had conquered Babel already, but most Jews still in Babel still spoke Aramaic.
Aramaic
is the Lashon of the... No, they're related languages. They're both Semitic languages, but they're Aramaic is the Lashon of the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda taught his Talmidim in Aramaic, therefore. So what would happen, a person is by, a Talmud is by one of Rabbi Yehuda's shiurim, he writes on the margin of his Gemara, he writes the explanation that Rabbi Yehuda gave, which is in the same Lashon as the Gemara, but he writes it as a marginal note, like to remind himself of how his Rebbe explained it. Later on, somebody gets that manuscript a few years later, a few decades later, sees that thing on the side, thinks it's part of the Gemara, sticks it in.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. So a couple of Rishonim explain that actually this whole piece of the Gemara until a couple of lines from here, Dilma Ikri Vikasu, is maybe not from the original Gemara. Because they say
this process, so the whole Gemara then.
No, the whole Gemara we know was composed and finished off. We're going to have a few sections here on this daf on Daf Yud Gimel that are questionable like that, because they point out that they point out there's various issues with that explanation. There's various problems with this whole question and answer of the Gemara. In particular, we'll see in a second the answer that the Gemara is going to give. The answer is masnissim, given the nafal itrele, that in our Mishnah we would say the difference is because the shtar fell, then already there's a reis in it, like we said yesterday. Therefore, that creates a further suspicion. Maybe it's true you're not allowed to write a shtar before the malva and the loiva are there unless it's a shtar akna, but it could have happened as a one-off that they did do it. So therefore, Rav Asi has to be concerned. Therefore, Rav Asi says that that's what our mission is concerned. There may have been that slight chance, that one occasion that they did the wrong thing and wrote the shtar without the malva being there. and then you have a problem that you might take from lekuchas improperly. So again, that's the thing. I mean, it's a doichik answer to say that they might have done the wrong thing, and the fact the shtar was dropped shows that. So that's one reason why the Ritva and a number of other rishonim. Say that this doesn't belong in the Gemara. There was Rabbi Yudai's explanation of the Gemara, very good, but that doesn't mean it's the last word on how to understand that. Huh? Usually a malveh is very careful with his shtar. So if he dropped it and you just found it in the street, there's already reason to suspect that there might be something wrong with it. Abaya gives a different answer. So this whole question, we're left with the question, okay, even if we say the actual question over here comes from a Rudoi Goin, we have from the Gemara itself is definitely the fact that Rabbi said that the case in Baba Basra over there was talking about a Shtore Hakna, and therefore by implication our Mishnah is talking about Shtores that are not Hakna. Abaya says you don't need that. I can give a different answer. Why are you're allowed to write a shtar for the loiva even without a malva present? That could be any kind of shtar, not even a shtar akna. Because edim v'hasum of zochim, like as soon as the edim sign it, they are zoicha to him. In other words, the shibud takes place immediately. Sort of like what Rav Asi is saying. In other words, Rav Asi is saying that only by shtari hakna is as soon as the shtar is written and signed, then the shibud begins. Abaya is saying in general with a shtar chov, as soon as the edim sign it, the shibud begins, even if. Even if it's not used until sometime later.
Right, the name of the name goes up.
Can they pre-sign the star?
So Rashi explains Rashi points out like this, that there is a Mishnah in Masechta Shviyas that tells us that a predated star is possible. So what would Abaya do with that? So Abaya would explain that a predated shtar means like this. There's two possibilities. One is where, let's say, you wrote it in Nissan, and they didn't sign it until a month or two or whatever it is later. So the date on it is Nissan. But you can't, Eidav Bahasumov only takes place in Iyar or what have you. Meanwhile, you're going to think that it was written in Nissan, because that's the date on it. That's a case of shtar.
It might have been sold.
Feel that sold during Nissan. Yeah. The other possibility, Rashi says, is let's say they did write it and sign it at the same time, in Iyar, let's say, but they predated it, they backdated it to Nissan. So then even the writing wasn't done in Nissan. So there's two possibilities. Either the writing was done in Nissan, the signatures weren't done until Tishrei, and Abaya is saying only the signatures create the shibud, not the writing of it. Or the writing and the signing both took place at the same time, but it was backdated a month or 6 months or what have you. That's the point.
Let me ask you a question. Up here, Lasa, when the agent signed, they don't have to date the shtar?
The shtar itself is dated before they sign.
Okay. The signature.
The signatures are not dated.
That's a big sign.
Okay. So therefore, vascular shtori de lav hakna, and therefore this applies even if it's not a shtar hakna. As soon as the edim sign it, the shibud is immediately created. And why does Abaya say this? Mishum de kashale. He disagrees with Rav Asi's explanation because he has a problem with Rav Asi's explanation, namely kiven de amar shtori de lav hakna. If you're telling me that the case of our Mishnah is talking about shtori not shtar hakna. And then, kilesi l'malva b'adei l'kasvin, and if the malva is not around, you're not going to write it. Lek l'meichosh to ikri v'kosev. There's no reason to be choshesh, maybe as a one-off they wrote such a shtar, like we said that Rav Asi said.
1% thing.
So we're not worried about such a thing. We know that if the rules are that you're not allowed to start to write a shtar if the malva and loiva are not present, unless, like Rav Asi said, it's a shtar akna, there's no reason to think that our Mishnah is talking about
there's no shtar. Now you say it's said in the shtar.
Either it says in the shtar or the Adim say or what have you. Yeah. So, okay, I mean, Tosfos points out that's not really reason enough for Abaya to come up with the chiddush, the eder b'chasum or zochim. You don't have to go quite so far in order if you have just because of a kasha on Rav Asi. So therefore, okay, Tosfos says that Abaya said that as an independent statement. Eder b'chasum or zochim is a given. Abaya knows that he learned it from his rebbeim or whatever it is. Tosfos actually later on towards the end of the parak explains that it's based on a tachana of the chachamim. It's a specific tachana the chachamim made that when Edim sign a shtar, then at that point the shibud is created. Tosfos discusses over there, does it apply to all kinds of shtaros? Do we say, for example, let's say as soon as a Tosfos gives an example over there, let's say you have a shtar to free an eved, which the Gemara here is going to quote a Mishnah about that in a second. Do you say as soon as the shtar is signed, if the eved at that point has relations with the Bat Yisrael, then it's allowed? No, we don't go that far with it. We don't go that far with that takana, but you know, the concept exists at least that the, in certain cases, at least once the Edom sign it, then that's it. The shibud or whatever it is created. The thing has been accomplished.
And therefore?
Therefore. So Abaye is saying that as an independent statement. Now he can also use
relevant
that. Because now he can use it to explain our Mishnah. Once you establish the Edom HaSim of Zachan, like based on the Sakana, then fine, you can use that to explain our Mishnah. In other words, not because of a question on Rav Asi, but because Rav Asi didn't hold of this concept Edom HaSim of Zachan, like Abaye does, therefore he has that available to explain our Mishnah.
The Mishnah goes going to Abaye.
So the Mishnah, well, I mean, the Mishnah has to go according to everybody. Rav Asi will say that our Mishnah is talking about stories that are not Akna. And like we said, maybe because of the 1% chance that maybe it was written improperly, even though you're not supposed to, and therefore we're worried about it. Whereas Abaye doesn't need all that. Abaye can just say because Edom HaSim of Zachan, which is an independent concept that he holds of independently of this whole discussion, therefore now he can use that to explain our Mishnah. To say that any shtar, once it's signed, the shibud is immediately created. Good. So then therefore, when you find a shtar, then the shibud has been created. Now, of course, the Gemara is going to ask soon the obvious question. If according to Abaye, Edom HaSim of Zachan, then what's the problem? So the shtar was lost.
Exactly.
So what? Why can't we return it to the Malva? What's the problem? The shibud's already been created, for sure. According to Rav Asi, we could say, yeah, I mean, maybe there's a 1% chance that it was written improperly, and yeah, but according to Abaye, he's not worried about that, then what's the problem?
Maybe the latest phase.
Well, we're saying the Loiva admitted that it's a valid shtar. So wait, that's what we're going to get back to the Knunia matter. That's going to be soon. We're going to introduce the matter of Knunia. Okay. So wait. Okay. Before we get to that, though, Ela Hadetnan, what about this that we learn later on in our Masechta? Mata gite noshim v'shakrure avadim. If somebody finds a get or a document, also which we also call a get, to free a slave, we learned about both of them in Gittin. Diatiki, or he finds a will. Diatiki is a... Diatiki, I don't know, whatever. It's officially, according to the dictionary, this comes from a Greek word that means just that, like a will, like a last will or something. The Gemara in Bavavaster explains that it also has a meaning in Aramaic, da tehe lametam. Diatiki is short for da tehe lametam. This shall be something that's established. It's a matnas shtimra, which we learned back in Kedushin, is a very binding thing. And in this case, it's written out as a shtar. So matana, or you find a shtar matana, v'shovrim, or you find a receipt, hareza lo yachzer to pay off a loan, hareza lo yachzer. In all those cases, the Mishnah says you shouldn't return such a document. Shemak suvim hoyu v'nim lachaleim shalei litnam. Because what if they had already been written and then the person decided not to give them? Let's say, for example, in the case of the get, the husband wrote out the get, but then he changed his mind and decided not to divorce his wife. So he can't go give it to her. But on the other hand, you can't give it to him either, because what if he did divorce her and now she doesn't have any and now he's going to claim I still have your get I have a get in my hand, therefore so for all those reasons. Okay, so the question is, according to Abaye,
the
Mishnah says that. Well, the question is, according to Abaye, what's the problem if he changed his mind? In particular, when we talk about, for example, Matana or Shoiva or whatever, what's the problem? Yeah, what's the problem? What's the problem if he changes my Bahamut Edom HaSim of Zachan? Abaye, you just said that once the Edom sign, that's it. It's a done deal. The answer is, Hanimila Hechdukamotu Liyade. Yes, but even Abaye is only going to hold Edom HaSim of Zachan when the Shtar actually reached the person it's supposed to reach. In the case of Matana or Diatiki, which reached the person who the bequest is supposed to be given to. In the case of the Shover, it came to the Loiva, etc.
That's a bit different.
But that's what we're talking about.
It
doesn't change. So it means, in other words, that we need Edom HaSim of Zachan, as long as you have a shtar that has reached the person that's supposed. In other words, exactly that. So therefore, if the Loiva, for example, writes a shtar, if it does reach the Malva, that's the point. Once it's signed and reaches the Malva, that's it. The shibud is in effect, even if he didn't borrow money yet. Again, according to Abaye, according to Abaye, that would only work with Shariakna. According to Abaye, that works across the board. So there you go. So in those cases, then the whole problem is that you don't know. We don't apply it if we don't even know if it ever reached the recipient. All those cases over there, the Gita Nashim and Shafur Avadim, et cetera, we don't know if the recipient ever received it. That Abai would have to, yeah, because you can't disagree with the Mishnah. So that Mishnah is not a problem for him. Eid of Hasum of Zachin, like when you have a shtar that we know reached the recipient. That Mishnah, we don't even know if the shtar ever reached the person it was supposed to. But yes, he could change his mind even after it was signed.
But regular shtar,
when we know it can't. Well, then, Elamas Nissen, fine. What are we going to do with our Mishnah then? Because only Motzi Shtori Choyv, Im Yesh Be'am Achrayis Nechosim L'Yachsu, we're saying in our Mishnah that if there's Achrayis Nechosim, you shouldn't return the Shtar. And again, we established, it was the sum of the Gemara established at the beginning, that we have to be talking about Kshachayev Moida, that when the one who's Chayev, meaning Loiva, admits that it's a valid Shtar, it's not forged, it's not paid off, etc., and we said the problem was that he might have written in Nissan and then not ended up using it till Tishrei. Vishlamalar of Ashi, so good. According to Rav Ashi, it works out very well. According to Rav Ashi, rather than Shtari Aknaisa, that he says it's talking about a Shtar Akna. Look, good. Muki Lava Shtari, the Lava Aknaisa. So, like we said, he can explain that the Mishnah is talking about a Shtar that's not a Shtar Akna. Good. So, therefore, you have that slight possibility that maybe such a Shtar was written even though you're not supposed to. El Abaya, according to Abaya, once the Edom sign it, there's Zoycha to him, Ma'ikla Memer, what are you going to say? So what? You wrote it in Nissan, you didn't borrow it till Tishrei. Edom Achasum of Zachem, like, what's the problem?
It was signed in Nissan.
It was signed in Nissan, yeah, it was written and signed in Nissan. So according to Abaya, it's a valid shtar. Exactly. So according to Abaya, why should there be a problem if there's Achrayis Nechosim in it? And according to the Chacham Meunah, there's not Achrayis Nechosim in it, yeah? The answer is Amalach Abaya Masnissin Hainu Taima. Yes, but Abaya will tell you in our Mishnah there's a different reason why you can't. And here's where we introduce the concept: the Chayish LePeroin or LeKnunya. He is concerned. What if it was paid off LePeroin? It was paid off or LeKnunya. And now KNUNYA means KNUNYA. There's another word that comes from Greek. In Greek it means something like a group of people. So in Gemara terminology, it's used to mean like a group of people for a bad purpose, a conspiracy. That's a knunia, good translation would be conspiracy, yeah.
He may
have paid it off. Meanwhile, they're going to bring the shtar to Beis Din. The loiver is going to claim, I never paid it off, but I don't have anything to pay. Therefore, the malver is going to go after some third party that the loiver sold previously. And we have to assume also, for this to work, obviously we have to assume the loiver sold the property without a chrayus. If he sold it with a chrayus, he's not going to benefit from it, because then he's going to have to pay off, he's going to have to reimburse the other guy. But if he sold it without a chrayus... But if he sold one of his properties without a chrayus, then there's a possibility of knunia. There's a possibility of a conspiracy over here. They'll go take away that property from him. Good, now we have a property. We'll enjoy it between the two of us.
I mean, you have a choice
whether to sell with a chrayus or not.
You want money, less money for it.
Yeah.
That consideration is just as rare as that of Rav Asi saying that every shtar that's found and lost is suspicious.
No, in general, in halacha, we do have to be concerned. Again, if it was just between the malva and the loiva, fine. The loiva can do whatever he wants. Once the loiva's admission affects the third party, then you have to start being concerned about possibilities of knunya.
Did we mention knunya earlier somewhere?
We didn't mention it before in our Gemara. We mentioned it verbally yesterday. You brought up the question. Why aren't we concerned about knunya? The Gemara has not yet introduced that concept. A few days ago, I think we talked about it in a different connection.
So that's
the possibility. We're afraid of Peroin and Knunya. Tosfos points out, by the way, it's not just that we're afraid of Peroin. Now, it's true, by the way, if the shtar had been paid off, even if there's no Knunya involved, once the shtar is paid off, it's possible to ever use again. Even if the same person borrows again from the same person. The reason Tosfos says, the thing is, that it's true, you might want to do that in order to save the money that it would cost to hire a sofer to write a new shtar, but we're not assuming that the guy is such a rusher that for such a small thing, in order to save a few pennies on a sofer, that he's going to cause third parties to lose their property. If there's a big payoff for him and the other guy involved, yeah, you know, a person has a yetzer hara, but to save a shit to the safra, you're not going to.
But also, automatically, by doing that, you're falsifying your aid again.
You're not the aid, you're the lawyer.
Right, but you're falsifying, you're reusing it again, those witnesses are not witnesses. The witness in the first
place. Well, if the witness, so let's say you wait till after the witnesses are dead and then you do it, you know, okay, whatever.
So let me ask you, every star by suspected is...
No. But in any case where there's reason to suspect that there may be a possibility of pneumonia. That's what we're saying. Maybe even not when it's found. No, even in general. If we have a shtar that the loiva is moida, that is valid, we do have to look out for any possibility of pneumonia and try to take steps to avoid it.
So that's what I'm saying.
Okay, so
shtar with the moida is
it doesn't mean that we're going to pass all the shtar. It doesn't mean anything like that. But it means that we have to take steps to make sure that it's not that
we
have. Okay, different cases, different things. That's what we're going to talk about the next couple of days when I talk about all of that. Okay, the question is, will Shmuel dama loy chashin l'pidoyin l'knunya? Fine, what about Shmuel, who says later on in the sugya that we're not concerned about this possibility of pidoyin and knunya, that even if you have a shtar that was found, we're not concerned, because once it's paid off, Shmuel says, you would have ripped it up.
Or does the coil in?
No, paying off doesn't necessarily have a coil. But Shmuel says that if the shtar had really been paid off, they would have ripped it up.
It wasn't there's a receipt, right?
What? If there's receipts, but not necessarily.
That wouldn't be considered a receipt.
No, if it's ripped up, that's the equivalent of a receipt, basically.
Okay.
But, we'll learn the details later on. But therefore, in other words, that Shmuel is not concerned about this possibility of Pirdoin and Knunya, well, then Ma'ikal Meimer. So according to him, how are you going to understand the Mishnah? Hanicha isav alak Rav Asi. So fine, if Shmuel agrees with Rav Asi, the Amar b'Shtari Hakna, who says that the Mishnah in Bava Basra is talking about Shtari Hakna specifically, fine, Muki Masnis in b'Shtari de Lav Hakna. Fine, he'll say like Rav Asi that our Mishnah is talking about a Shtar that's not a Shtar Hakna. So therefore, Shmuel will make a distinction: a Shtar Hakna you should return, a Shtar that's not Hakna you should not return. Fine,
he agrees with Avayu, but
we don't know yet. That's what we have to figure out. But if Shmuel agrees with Abaya, that Eid of Chasum of Zochen Lai,
Michael
Neymar, then what are you going to say? Now, Rashi points out, on the face of it, given that Shmuel mentions in his expression, Shmuel uses the expression, Hamotzi Shtar Hakna Bashuk, that if you find a Shtar Hakna, you should return it. Now, the difference between a Shtar Hakna and not is only according to Rabasi, not according to Abaya. So why is the Gemara even thinking that Shmuel agrees with Abaya if
Abaya
he mentioned
agree with that concept?
There can be such a thing as a shtar hakna, but as far as Abaya is concerned, there's no difference as far as returning it, whether it's a shtar hakna or not. Either way, the shibud was created as soon as it was signed. The answer is, Rashi says, based on what we said before, that Abaya agrees that if the shtar never reached the recipient, it's not in effect yet. So therefore, there still can be a difference between a shtar hakna and not. On the basis of, did it actually ever reach the malveh or not? Again, our Mishnah we established is talking about that the loiva admits that it's a valid shtar, meaning it was in the malveh's hands at one point. But fine, once it reached the malveh's hands, eid b'chasum of zochen lo. But in outside of that, if it's not a case of chayav moida, then there isn't going to be a distinction between shtar hakna and not. Because a shtar hakna doesn't matter whether it ever reached the malveh; it's still in effect. A shtar non hakna not. So therefore, there is still the possibility that Shmuel agrees with Abaya. And if we say that one second, and if we say that way, if we say he agrees with him on Eidah B'chasum of Zochen Lo, but on the other hand, he disagrees and says, I'm not worried about Pirdoin and Knunya, how are you going to explain our Mishnah? What is the problem with returning the Shtar in our Mishnah then?
Well, the question I have is, you can write a Shtar Akna in the absence of the Malveh?
That's what we said before. Abaki has explained the Mishnah in Baba Basra. Because the Shibud starts right then, as soon as the Kinyan is done, yeah.
No,
and even a buyer.
It comes as soon as the
king. Okay.
But the question is, can you write such a shtar in the absence of the malveh?
Well, that's the Mishnah saying. Kos vin shtar loiva afishe malveh imoy. And Rav Asi explained that.
No.
The Mishnah just said kos vin shtar. Rav Asi is the one who explained that it's talking about shtar akna. Yeah. And a buyer said even further. A buyer said it can be any kind of shtar. Any kind of shtar. Fine. Okay. The answer is Shmuel Mukhi the Masnissim, Train Chayav Moida. Fine, Shmuel will bring up a third possibility. So far, we've been assuming that our Mishnah is talking about the Loiva admits it's a valid shtar, it's still a shtar that's still in effect. Both Abaya and Rav Asi hold that way, we said. Fine, Shmuel could have another opinion that the Mishnah is talking about that's not Chayav Moida. The Mishnah didn't say anything one way or the other. The Mishnah just said Motzei Shtari Choy. The Mishnah didn't spell out whether Chayav Moida or not. The Gemara was the one that explained that. So that fine, Shmuel doesn't have to hold a chayav moda. He can say the loiver is claiming that he paid it off already. Or actually, Rashi says that Rashi goes differently. No, Rashi says that in chayav moda means the loiver says this is not a valid shtar. It's a forged shtar. What happens to Kiyum? So again, Rashi says we'll use the logic that once it was dropped, then already that shows that there may be something fishy with it. Tosfos on Amud Beis talks about another possibility. The Gemara mentions also in Bava Basra a case of a forger who was so expert that he forged Rava's signature on a document, and Rava thought it really was his signature, except the only reason he caught it is he said, the other Amoda that it says over here on the document that I signed with, I've never signed a document together with it. And that's how they caught the guy. Because so he had forged his signature very expertly and forged both signatures very expertly, and the only thing that tripped him up is the fact that Rava knew who he had previously signed shtaras with and who he hadn't. So therefore, you can have a shtar that's so expertly forged that even Kiyum is not going to help. The Edom are going to come in, yes, that looks like my signature, and they're not going to realize it. So therefore, again, so Shmuel will explain now that if the loiva is arguing that it's forged, we have to pay attention to that. Okay. Okay, the question is, so fine, then we're back to the question at the beginning of the Gemara, why then is there a difference between achrayis nechasim or not? If the guy is claiming that it's forged, why should you return it if there's no achrayis nechasim, according to the mayor? Nihid la government mishabdi, true, you won't be able to use it to collect from nechasim mishabadim, because you won't be able to collect, because he's claiming it's forged, no, because there's no achrayis nechasim. There's no achrayis nechasim in it, no achrayis nechasim, no collecting from third parties.
But even if there was
a chayes nechasim. No. Rameir had said if there's a chayes nechasim, you don't return it. So fine, if there's a chayes nechasim, you don't return it, I understand. The guy's claiming it's forged. Right. But if there's no chayes nechasim, why should Rameir say you return it? If the loiva is claiming it's forged, that's the question. Mimnei chori mig begabi. After all, such a shtar can, in principle, be used to collect from Bnei Chorin. Why are we returning it to the malva when the loiva is standing there screaming that it's forged?
Yeah,
the answer is Shmuel Atayme. Shmuel goes according to his own shitta, to his own understanding of Rav Meir, to Amash Shmuel, Oymahoy Rav Meir, because Shmuel says that Rav Meir used to say, Shtar Chayv She'en Bar Achrayis Nechasim, that a shtar that does not have Achrayis Nechasim written in it, is a mistaken shtar. It's not even really, it can't even really count as a shtar at all. Therefore, Ein Goyva, Loyma Meshabdi, Loyma Menechori. You can't collect from anything from it.
So you rip it off.
So it's a worthless shtar. So fine, go ahead and return it to the malva. You can't do anything with it anyway. Wait. What's the point of returning it to the malva if you can't use it anyway? Yes, but the malva can use it still to wrap around the neck of a bottle. Okay, well then the question is, fine, if the loiva also wants to use it as a bottle wrapper or as a bottle stopper, why shouldn't you return it to him? The answer is, the loiva is the one who claims that shtar never deserved to be written in the first place, the forged shtar. Therefore, he has no basis for claiming, I want the paper. The malva is the one who's claiming it's a valid shtar. Fine, we can't allow him to collect with it because there's no achrayis nechasim in it, and the mayor says the shtar is invalid anyway. But if you're gonna return it to someone, at least return it to the one who claims that it's a valid shtar, not the one who claims that it's a forged shtar.
Looks like those daily kids, they saved everything. I'm sorry.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. You actually
could he, if you return it to the malva, then he could claim it from third parties.
There's no achrayis nechasim in there, so for sure you can't claim from third parties. Shmuel says that Rav Meir says not only you can't claim from third parties, you can't even collect on the debt at all. It's a worthless shtar because there's no without achrayis nechasim written in it. It's a shtar without achrayis nechasim is not a shtar. It's similar to Toh Sofer, but in a different vein. No, achrayis Toh Sofer is the other way around. That achrayis is not written, it's as if it was written. He was the other way around. Rav Meir, according to Shmuel, Rav Meir is taking almost the opposite view. If it's not written, that's it. It's as if it's non-existent.
Right. I was guy something that never went through with it.
The halacha is what? It has to be written?
We'll get to that later on. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. We're only talking according to Rav Meir, so far away. I was going to say, by the way, you were saying about how people used to save everything and reuse everything. If you ever learn Mishnayos Kalim sometimes, you'll see some great examples of that where the Mishnah mentions over and over again, those Kali that was originally it had this purpose, but then it broke and a person reused it for some other purpose. Yeah, it wasn't like nowadays where you would just throw it away. Now we have some more opinions on this. Omer Rav Elazar, machloikus b'she'en chayev moideh. The whole machlokas in our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar says, is when the loiver is not moida. Again, he claims that the forged shtar, similar to what Shmuel was saying.
She'ein
chayev moida. That the one who, she'ein chayev moida, the ein goes with moida. The chayev, the one who this shtar claims is chayev, is not moida, that's a valid shtar. He claims that the forged shtar. Before we were saying, we started saying that Abaye and Rav Asi both hold, and the sum of the Gemara started by saying that's talking Chayav Moida. Abaye and Rav Asi both went with that. Then we said that Shmuel says that no, Shmuel can explain the Mishnah as talking about Ein Chayav Moida. Again, if Shmuel, remember by the way, we said if Shmuel agrees with Abaye, if Shmuel agrees with Rav Asi, you don't need all of that. If Shmuel agrees with Rav Asi, you could still say that there's a difference between Shtar Akna and Shtar Nan Akna, and therefore the Mishnah can still be talking about Chayav Moida, because the Shtar Nan Akna, with Shmuel's din of his own later on, the Shtar Akna should return, it's talking specifically a Shtar Akna. The whole machlokas in our Mishnah between the Meir and the Chachamim is if the one who's supposedly chayev, the loiva, is not moida that it's a valid shtar. He claims that it's forged. Namely, did a Meir savar, which a Meir would hold, as we just said, according to Shmuel's understanding, shtar she'en ra'achrayis nechotim ena goyva loiva meshabadu loiva mechari. That you can't use such a shtar at all. Therefore, you might, if there's no achrayus written in it, you might as well return it to the malva so you can use it to stop up a bottle because you can't do anything else with it anyway. V'rabbanan savri. Now this next part that's in parenthesis. So first, let's learn it with and then without. V'rabbanan savri mishabdihu delegar milgavi nechari migvagavi. The rabbanan would hold you can't collect with it from mishabadim. Sure, because there's no achrayus nechotim in it, but you can collect from bnei chorin. Rashi has that girsa. Rashi has not explicitly, he doesn't say so in so many words, but by implication you can see from how he explains he says he says in the second Rashi, Rabbanan Sabri, Lahomiya Habishtara, to this extent that Rabbanan would hold it is a valid shtar, should take a milva al peh edim, that it should be at least no worse than a milva, than a verbal milva, where there were edim, hilchav gavim b'nei chori, therefore you can collect from b'nei chori. And so Rashi understands then that the Gemara is saying, that Rabbi Elazar is saying that according to the Rabbanan, the guy can collect from b'nei chori, and therefore you have a problem. Again, if ein chayev moida, if a loiva is claiming it's a forged shtar, then you can't return it, because how can you return it to the malva and he'll be able to collect with it from b'nei chorin, from the loiva's own property, when the loiva is standing there screaming that it's forged. Tosfos and many other Rishonim have a different gisa, which takes out the words in parentheses over here, and they explain that Rabbanan Savri Migvagavi, they say that Rabbanan would hold that such a star can be used to collect from anything, because we would say Achrayus Tolos Sofer, the fact that there was no Achrayus written in there, it doesn't matter. It's as if Achrayus was written in there.
Because Chayus is implicit.
Because it's implicit, basically. So, yeah. So, exactly the opposite of what we're saying Rameh would hold that it's completely worthless. According to Tosfos' understanding of the Rabbanon, you would say, because that's a shtar has a standard formula, and even if a certain part of the standard formula is left out, we would say, according to that explanation, that it's as if it's understood when a person borrows money. No sensible person is going to lend money without a chayus nechotim. Therefore, even if it wasn't written in the shtar, it's as if it was written. Look, you know, you're not talking about that you lend somebody, you know, $5 for, you know, to catch a cab. You know, we're talking about you lend somebody, you know, a few $1,000 or whatever. Yeah, you're not going to do it without some kind of collateral. You know?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. The reason for the different girsos, by the way, has to do with the Gemara is going to talk about later on. We're going to have at the end of the Amud and the beginning of the next Amud, we're going to talk about the Braisa, the Stira, to Rav Elazar, and depending on how we learn that Gemara is going to affect what we're saying over here, how Rav Elazar explains the Chachamim's view. Yeah. Okay, anyway. But Rabbi Elazar continues, if the loiva admits that it's a valid shtar, then everybody would agree that we return it. And therefore, so in other words, we're not worried about the whole piroin knunya business. So similar to what we said that Shmuel would hold if he holds like a bayan. Rabbi Yochanan would say that the machloikus is when chayev moida, like we started talking about at the beginning of the Gemara. Because the mayor will hold that if, even if there's no achrayus, fine, you can't collect from the Shabbatim because there's no achrayus in there, but you could collect from the Nechorim. What? Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Meir is different than Shmuel, than Rabbi Lazar. According to them, Rabbi Meir would say that such a shtar is completely worthless. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it can still be used for B'nai Chorin. Again, given that
it can going to be used with B'nai,
because exactly that. In other words, the Malva has a shtar that says that on such and such a date, Reuven borrowed from me $100. So now, when it comes, so now he can take Reuven to Beis Din and demand that he pay him the 100. And if you don't have money or metalcillin available to do it, then I'll take karka. I'll take karka from you. I can't take karka that you previously sold to other people. That would be mishabadim, but I can collect from B'nai Chorin, from your own karka. Again, as opposed to Shmuel and Rebbe Lazar's understanding of Rebbeir, is the shtar is completely worthless. You can't collect on such a loan at all. Okay. So therefore, so Rabbi Yochanan is understanding, Rabbi Meir will say, fine, there's no achrayis nechassim, you can't collect from mishabadim, but you can collect from B'nai Chorin. Whereas the Rabbanan would hold Mishabdi Nami Gobi, and the Rabbanan would hold that you can collect also from Mishabadim. Again, because of Achrayis Tos Tos. Avok She'en Chayev Moida, but Rabbi Yochanan would continue, if the Loiva does not admit that it's a valid star, he claims that it's forged, Divrei Hakol Lo Yachzur, then everybody would agree you shouldn't return. Because we have B'nai Chorin and Mishabadim, the fact of the matter is, if the guy's claiming it's forged, you can't, here we're not even necessarily talking about that he's claiming that it's forged. Rashi says that, here we're talking a little bit differently than before. Up till now, we've been saying that the claim, if we say Ein Chayev Moida, he claims it's a forged shtar. Now we're saying differently. According to the Yechanan, doesn't even need that. He could be claiming it was a valid shtar, but I paid it off.
Was he witness? He been appointed.
Doesn't matter. You don't need to. The usual rule.
That
Ein Chayev Moida. Rabbi Yochanan's understanding. When he said Ein Chayev Moida, would be
that
it was. Yes. The din is, even if you lend somebody money with Edim, he doesn't have to pay you back with Edim unless he specified so. There's a Gemara about it in Masechta Shavuos. The Rambam has a long, interesting discussion of it in Hilchos Malva V'Loiva, that the Rambam says there are Gersois of the Gemara that say that he does have to pay him, that he does have to pay him in the presence of Edim, but the Rambam says, I found Gemaras that are 500 years old that says that he doesn't. Interesting little tidbit.
But he pays, rips it up, and then...
Usually, yeah, but if it happens, it wasn't ripped up yet. We still have to be concerned that we still have to be concerned that he may have paid it off, and for whatever reason, the Malva didn't rip it up. Okay, the Gemara says, Tanya Kavaseh de Rabbi Yochanan, Tanya Kavaseh de Rabbi Yochanan, we learn a braisa that agrees with what Rabbi Yochanan says, how Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of our Mishnah, that it's talking about Chayev Moida, and that the machlokas is whether you're able to use it to collect from B'nai Chorin or even from the Shabbatim, Rabbi Meir versus the Chachamim, or Tiyufta de Rabbi Lazar B'chada, it's a stira against Rabbi Lazar's opinion in one way, or Tiyufta de Shmuel B'tarki, and it's a stira against Shmuel's opinion in two ways. Namely, the Braita goes like this. If somebody found a shtar chayv and there is a chayv nechassim written into it, even if both of them admit that it is a valid shtar, the Malvan loiver, we're concerned about knunya. Therefore, lo yachzur lo lezev lo lezev, therefore you shouldn't return it to either one. Ein behen achrayis nechassim, but if there's no achrayis nechassim, it's man shal loiver moida yachzur lo malva. If the loiver admits it's a valid shtar, you return it to the malva, because then there's no problem. You're not going to be collecting from any third parties. Ein a loiver moida, but if the loiver doesn't agree that it's a valid shtar, he claims that I paid it or that it's forged or what have you, lo yachzur lo lezev lo lezev, then you shouldn't return it to either one. Divrei Meir, shehoyer a meir oimer, because a meir used to say, shtari choyv, it's supposed to be, sheyesh behem achrayis nechassim, goyvim nechassim meshabodim, that if there's achrayis nechassim written in it, you can collect from the Shabbatim. V'she'en b'ar nachrayis nachasim gozim nachasim b'necharen. If there's no achrayis, you can't collect from the Shabbatim. You can collect from b'necharen. Again, that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. That's not what Rabbi Lazar said. Rabbi Lazar said that according, and Shmuel had said that according to Meir, such a shtar is worthless. We see from this b'raisa that not. That's the first zira against both of them, yeah. So, say either way you can collect from the nachasim b'shabbatim, and even if it's not written, because achrayis tell a sefer, and therefore you shouldn't be returning it either way. So, Tiyufta, Rabbi Lazar B'chada. So, therefore, it's a stira against Rabbi Lazar in one thing, D'Omar, because Rabbi Lazar understood that Rabbi Meir shtar she'en b'achrayis nechassim ain't a gregum nechassim b'shabadim v'loim nechassim b'necher. And he said, according to Rabbi Meir, such a shtar is worthless for collecting. Vika Omar, and the Braisa said, no, bein the Rabbi Meir, bein the Rabbanim, like Hashin al-Knunia. The Braisa, it comes out that the Braisa is implying that this braita that we just quoted, yeah, is implying that both according to the mayor and according to the Rabbanon, we're not concerned about Knunia. And
which we were previously.
What?
Which we were previously.
Which, yeah. One second, I think I misread that. Yeah, that's number one. Vika Amar, furthermore, another detail that Rabbi Elazar is saying, he was saying that Loi Chashin LePerdoin LePnunya, that we're not worried about the whole possibility of Knunya, and therefore if Chayev Moida, no problem with returning it. As long as the Loiva admits the valid star, no problem with returning it. The problem with that, or Braisa Katani, because that contradicts the Braisa, which said Shtar Shein Merachayev Nefasim, Mimishabdi Hudalai Gavi, you cannot collect from the Chasim Meshabadim, according to the Chachamim, Habib Necherin Migba Gavi, but from Bnei Chorin you can collect. The Katani and the Braisa says Bein Le Rabbanon and Bein Le Rameir Chashin Le Knunya. I misread this yet again. Let me try that again. Sorry. I looked this over a little too quickly. Okay. Let's go back for one. The Omer. Okay. Two of the Rebbe Elazar b'chader. The theory according to Rebbe Elazar in one aspect like this. Rebbe Elazar had said two things. The Omer, number one, he says that a mayor shtar shein reachayas achasim loyin a goyva loyin achasim mishabadim loyin achasim nechareth. Number two, another detail that he says is that we're not concerned about Knunya. Now, Ubraisa Katani, now let's look at the Braisa and see how that contradicts him. Number one, the Braisa says, Shtar Shein Be'achrayaz Nechasim, Mimishabdihud Le Gavi Hamid Necherin Migva Gavi. The Braisa had said that if there's no Achrayaz Nechasim in it, you can't collect from the Shabbadim, implying what you could collect from B'nei Chorin. Actually, you don't even have to imply, Tosin says. The Braisa says so explicitly, but that's the derech of the Gemara. No, the Braisa that we just quoted right now, the one that we said is a proof to Rabbi Yehuda. This one explicitly says that you can collect from B'nai Chorin, but okay, the Gemara often does that. The Gemara will deduce something, even though it could have said we have the actual words of the Braisa. Okay. And the Katani, furthermore, the Braisa says, Bein L'Rameir, Bein L'Rabbanon, Chashin L'Knunya. Evidently, the Braisa says that both of them are concerned about Knunya. The Katani, Afak Vishashneim, Moedim L'Yaksev, L'Lazev, L'Lazev. Because we said that if they're both Moedim, then if they're both moed, if there's a chrayis nechasim, the first part of the braisa said, you don't return it to either one, alma chashin le knunya, which shows that we're concerned about knunya. Yeah, okay. So we have a stira against Rebbe Elazar. The problem is, what do you mean? It's only one stira. Bahani tauti. We have two things that two statements that Rebbe Elazar made that this braisa contradicts. What are you telling me? The braisa only contradicts him in one way.
The
answer is chodu. It's actually one thing, the chad tam. It's really one reason. It's really one svara that forced Rebbe Elazar to say both things. To mishum the ka'amar of the Elazar machlokas b'she'en chayev moida who mataratahi. Because he explained that the machlokas of our Mishnah is ein chayev moida, where the loiva claims that it's a forged star, implying, but if it wasn't, if he doesn't claim that it was forged, you could, as long as there's no achrayas nechasim, then you could return it. That forced him to say. That forced him to say that we're not worried about Knunya. Because otherwise, even if the loiva is moida, you still have a problem and you can't return it. So it's not really two different statements of his. It's one that's a consequence of the other.
The fact that
he's saying that Machlokas is Ein Chayev Moida requires him to say that we're not worried about Knunya. So it's not really two different statements of his that the Braita is contradicting, but rather one. It's rather one long statement of his.
One
is a consequence of the other. We'll stop over here. By the way, we'll continue tomorrow with what the theorists are against Shmuel. But one thing is, this is another one of those pieces. This last piece over here about explaining what the one contradiction is against Rebbe Elazar. This is another one where the Ritva says comes from Rebbe Yehuda going and is not part of the original Gemara. Because he says it's a little hard to understand why the Gemara is why. And the way the Gemara is putting of it here, that's one reason because it's all one thing. It's all based on one underlying reason. It's a little bit of a stretch.
Two reasons in one.
Yeah, it's a bit of a stretch. So fine. The stomach of the Gemara, the actual Gemara, as Ravina and Rav Ashi gave it to us, just said there's a stira against Rebbe Elazar in one thing. What that one thing is, they didn't spell it out. So later on, Rabbi Yehuda would go and explain what the one thing is, and his Talmidim wrote it down, and eventually it accidentally made it into the Gemara. But the actual one stira against him is not necessarily what the Gemara is spelling out of here.
But it was two steers. One is
Knut. Well, as we said, there seemed to be two steers against him. That's the one is that he's saying that if there's no achrayus nefasim, you can collect from Bnei Korin, and the other is about Knunya versus not Knunya.
And now we're saying.
But now, the Ritva explains that the Gemara does not necessarily, the Gemara is not necessarily the sum of the Gemara, the original Gemara, as Ravina and Ravashi wrote it, is not necessarily saying that the two statements of him, as one follows from the other, and therefore it's considered as one thing. But rather, we could say the contradiction against him is only in one of those two things. The other one we could transfer. The other one we could transfer, but the one we have a clear brisa against him that he says that a shtar like that is worthless according to the mayor, and we see from this brisa that the mayor says that not. That also I mentioned before about the part in the parenthesis of it here, whether according to the laws of the Chachamim would say that a shtar can be used to collect the Shabbatim or not, that also affects this discussion over here, whether we say that the Braisa necessarily contradicts him as far as the view of the Chachamim. Maybe we could say the Braisa only contradicts him as far as the view of Rebbe Elazar, but not necessarily as far as the view of the Chachamim. And therefore, it really is only one thing.
What?
So, good question.